Glory to God. There's the weightiness of God's glory and presence in this place. Hallelujah. And I believe that tonight there'll be a download in your spirit and in your soul and in your body of something of the intensification of what God wants to do in your life. Hallelujah. How many of you are ready for a heavenly download? I've been in preparation for these meetings, and I have an idea where I'm going by the Spirit. But tonight I'm going to share something a little different in the next few minutes with you that I believe is going to bring some clarity and purpose. We'll see where we go from there. Before I get into the word of the Lord, I just want to quickly introduce one of our staff who has come to be with us tonight and tomorrow and Wednesday. She's also brought a friend with her, Jane. So if Jane, you could just wave your hand. Jane, I know, is sister from Connecticut and has been in many of my meetings. And then next to Jane is Bev Tiven. And Bev Tiven helps me a lot in the ministry. She's the editor of all my writings, my blogs, my letters, my updates, my student letters, my many training manuals. She's the lady that helps me look somewhat intelligent. So, Bev, why don't you stand so people can welcome you? She's a vital part of our team, and she's a tremendous editor, but beyond that, she's also a very, very dynamic evangelist. She probably leads more people to the Lord than anyone I know next to mass evangelists. She's always out. If we're in a meeting anywhere, she's out during the day just leading people to the Lord, getting them saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. So she's got a very intensive passion for souls. Hallelujah. And how many of you know that that is the priority of the church and of the Lord and of our lives? It's His very heartbeat. If you put your ear against the heart of God, you'll hear it pulsating, souls, souls, souls. Hallelujah. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they go unless they be sent? In other words, empowered by God in the commission. And so we're to rise into this high calling of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Before I get into the word of the Lord, just put your hand on your belly and just take a drink. Cause your spirit to be opened. Lord, I pray that we would decrease, that you might increase in us. Oh God, that we would become nothing, that you might become everything. We'll lie low that you alone may be lifted high. And oh God, we open our hearts to you tonight, that in our spirit, soul, and body, your power would come down and fill us and change us and raise us, oh God, in your image and in your likeness. We thank you not only for, oh God, a download of your anointing, but also that you would conform us to your image. That we would be like you in character and even in our personality, in our communication, in our relationships, every area of our life to come under the infusion of God life. I pray, O God, for an inner strengthening in this great work that you're doing in this region. We pray again, O God, for Kingston, that your glory would invade the city. Even as it invades our lives, O God, let it invade the city. And I pray, O God, that our lives would be as bright shining lights in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. That, O God, every place that we put our feet down, that in that place, O God, the fragrance of Jesus would infiltrate and cause, O God, blind eyes to see and hard hearts to hear this glorious gospel of grace and power, for in it is the revelation of their righteousness. We ask, O God, for your glory to be poured out on our lives tonight, that we would arise and shine, not only in the city, but God, wherever you send us. Pray, oh God, for every leader in this place, that their leadership would go to new levels, that their authority and their boldness would be found secure in you. We take charge over insecurity and a lack of identity, and we pull those high places down, that men would not think more highly of themselves, or they would not think less of themselves, but they would see themselves in the face of Jesus, in the image of this mirror that is revealed by your holy word. Oh God, come and fill us and change us, we pray tonight, in your anointing and in your glory and in the revelation of your word. Let the weak become strong, and let the strong become stronger still. Let those that are blaze in the spirit blaze seven times harder, I pray, oh God. May we be known in heaven and feared in hell. May the reputation of your fame be spoken all over this land, O God. I pray a holy deposit in every life tonight. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Healer, our Reviver, the glory and the lifter of our heads. Hallelujah. Our soon coming King, the mighty God of Israel, the God of the church, the God of the firstborn among many brethren, the way, the truth, the life, the door, the shepherd of the flock, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, our Alpha and Omega, the author and the perfecter of our faith, our all in all. We declare, O God, our love for you. We place great value to the salvation that has found us and captured our hearts and won our affection, O God. We are yours because your love has won our hearts. We're not those, O God, who stand on the edge looking in, but, O God, we jump into all that you've got for us. We'll not hold ourselves back in any way, O God, but we'll plunge deep into the holy flow of your Spirit. We're not those that will stand on the muddy banks, but, oh God, we are those that will plunge in, not ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, but, oh God, until we be immersed in that crystal river of life and purity. We thank you, oh God, for your call upon our lives. As sons and daughters of the Most High God, not just saved for heaven, but, oh God, saved so that on this earth we may carry your significance. Oh God, I thank you that not one soul yet tonight will be, a doubter, will be bound in fear, a grabber of just that which is possible. But, oh God, I pray they would lay hold of the impossibles, that the landscape of this region would be changed. That God, the mountains would be brought down, that they would melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. God, I pray that the spiritual climatic conditions of their homes, of their business, of their schools, of their colleges, of their marriages, of their finance, that it would change, oh God, because we hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Pray, O God, for your glory to rest upon our lives tonight in the name of Jesus. And the church of God said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God a shout of praise. Come on. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 I want you to again put your hand on your belly. Why there? Ha. Because out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Put your hand there as if it's on the head of your son or your daughter that's dying, and let the power of God flow into your being. Hallelujah. Because if you can't impart it to yourself, how are you going to impart it to someone else? And I want you to draw from that liquid flow of purity and power tonight, that God would shake your life and raise you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why on your belly? Because out of your innermost being would flow rivers. Rivers. Not a trickle, not a stream, but a river. Not a river, but rivers. Don't grab a thimble. Don't grab a shot glass. Don't grab a mug. Grab a river. Don't drink little tonight. Drink a lot. Don't sip. Gulp. Not even a big gulp. A big, 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 big gulp. Hallelujah. Whatever gets in you will come out of you. Hallelujah. You get in the river will get in you, and then out of your being, out of your innermost being, will flow rivers. Hallelujah. Rivers, rivers of power, rivers of life, rivers of hope, rivers of peace, rivers of healing, rivers of joy. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I was waiting on God in worship. There we go, there we go. That's it, come on. Tonight, God's going to set people free. Tonight there's going to be a wave of deliverance, of power, of breakthrough in your hearts and in your lives. Hallelujah. Things that have been wrapped around your mind, impossibility thinking that has bound you, those things are going to be broken tonight. The attack and the assignments of the enemy to stop you, to stall you, to slow you down are going to be reversed. Hallelujah. It says in Acts, how many of you want to live a kind of Acts life? I like to call us Acts 29. In Acts chapter 4. And in verse 25. Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things, and the kings of the earth took their stands, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His anointed. There is a wave of resistance to what God wants to do. While God is at work, the enemy is at work. Tonight I'm not trying to exalt the enemy. I want you to know, I want to exalt the Lord of hosts, the King of glory, the great I am. Hallelujah. The Bible says we must not be ignorant of His devices. And yet so many people are ignorant. Whenever God is up to something, the enemy is trying to stop it, to stall it. Paul wrote in his desire to get to, I believe, the Romans, how that the devil had tried to stop him. How many of you remember reading that? He said, Satan has hindered me. And the word hindered is a military term. It means to slow down the advancing army. The enemy saw Paul as an advancing army. That as he was in the pursuit of the will of God, in carrying the mantle, the anointing, the word to his generation, the devil was trying to stop him. And the way he hindered Paul, could not stop him, hindered Paul, was that he would, as it were, burn the bridges, blow up the roads to slow down his advance. You'll know that from the military. In combat, when the troops, their resource is cut off, they can't fight without ammunition, without the tools, without the fuel, without the supplies. So one of the strategies that the military will use is to blow up the bridges, to blow up the airfields, to blow up the roads so that they can slow down the advance of the offense. And that's what the enemy wants to do. And as I was waiting on God, I saw that God is doing something here. But I also believe that the enemy wants to slow down the advance of what God is doing. He doesn't have the power to win because the battle has been won. But he does have the ability to slow down the advance if we are ignorant of his strategies. Now, if we are aware of his strategies, we can turn it around because we know who we are and we know whose we are and we know what we have at our disposal. I'm glad that gripped your hearts with such enthusiasm. That was mighty fine, if I may say so myself. Greater is he that is in us. Hallelujah. The greater one abides in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors. But there is an antichrist spirit that is active that does not want to stop the Christian church, but wants to stop the anointed Christian church. Because it's an anti-anointing, an anti-Christ spirit. Not just an anti-Christian spirit, but an anti-Christ spirit. Because without the anointing, without the authority, without the word working mightily in you, you're just an easy target. But when you know who you are and what you are and what you've been given and you operate in the power of God, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, the desire of God is that we'd be known and feared in hell. Because we understand how to work in the realms of the Spirit. Whenever God is up to something, the devil is trying to stop it. You see that even in Messiah. The moment the Holy Spirit comes upon him and the voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," immediately the devil activates his assignment and he seeks to tempt Jesus. Why? Because he wants to stop him from fulfilling his destiny. Notice Jesus was left alone by the enemy. But the moment he's filled with the Spirit, now he's not just a mere man, but he's the anointed man. And the enemy wants to stop him. But notice that Jesus overcomes. that the devil has to withdraw. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. The Bible also says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of these strongholds. I tell you, the God that we serve is mighty. The devil is a liar, a thief, a murderer. He's a deceiver. He hasn't got power, but he does work behind the scenes, oftentimes even using people to slow down our advance. And revival must advance. You didn't get that. This is the place for amen. Revival must advance. Because there's souls in the balance. And our lives empowered by God are going to be instruments and carriers of His word and of His power and of His healing. We cannot do that impoverished in our spirit. We do that in strength and in the capacity of God. We are strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. We have not been called to defeat. We've been called to victory. I don't quite know where I'm going, but I'm going to get there. Because I want to exalt the Lord. The cross was the embarrassment and the shame of the devil. For in the cross and in the blood, he spoiled principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of him, having triumphed. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that we'll tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, and nothing by any means shall harm you. Because the greater one lives in you, who has triumphed. And because he has conquered, he has made us more than conquerors. He's allowed us to share in his authority. And he said that his enemies will be made his footstool. And if we are his body, then his enemies must come under our feet. Because you cannot separate the head from the body. And the oil that was on the head is the oil that is upon the body. And the authority that is in the head is the authority that is in the body. He is not just a floating head, but he has a body. His church, triumphant and glorious. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a shout of praise. There's no weapon that's forged against you that can prosper. And every tongue that rises up to insult what God is doing, we condemn. Hallelujah. Because the Lord that we serve, the Bible says, let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Says that when he comes in one way, he will flee in seven. But there is a strategy that wants to slow down the advance of the move of God in your hearts and in the church and in the city. And hence I'm going here for a few moments. Because as I was waiting on God, God showed me that He wants to do an accelerated work. But there are forces that are trying to slow it down. I often say, I'm not as afraid of the devil as I am of myself. Because as I think it was Pogo that says, I've seen the enemy and the enemy is us. And so it's not just about the devil, but it's about you right now. You can become the greatest threat to the potential of God in your life by yielding to your mind. That's why the Bible says that the enemies are the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down. I don't believe that shouting at the devil and binding and loosing is as powerful as taking down the imaginations and the wrong thinking that exists in your mind that allows you to stay in carnality, indifference, and passivity. Allowing you just to go through the motions of spirituality and just receiving mode. God wants to turn it around into an outflow. Outpouring, infilling, outflowing. And there's another word, ingathering. Because once something flows out of you, there is an ingathering. 3,000 were ingathered in one day, because of an outpouring, an infilling, and an outflowing. And at one miracle, 5,000 men were saved. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. By most ardent zeal. And that's why I'm not as scared of the enemy as your indifference, your passivity, spectatorship, standing on the outside. I want to appeal to you to get on the inside. I watched as we were worshiping in the Spirit. Sometimes I wish I didn't see everything. That I could just be a normal human being, but I'm not. I see things by the Spirit. And God showed me something. Many of you are just standing there. Why? Because you just like receiving. You don't want to give out. You don't know how to stir it up. And if you want to possess the land and see the city set ablaze by the fire of God, you're going to have to live not out of the resource of your mind, but out of the resource of your spirit. That's in communication with the Spirit of God, and not just be a receiver, but become a giver, and a source of outflow. Does that insult you? That I look at you while you don't participate? But I saw how that the enemy is getting you just to stand waiting for something to fall out of heaven and hit you instead of something erupting from within you. Yes. And just by being indifferent, you start to empower your enemies. Because we are called to wage a warfare with zeal against the indifference, the wrong thinking, the spectatorship, because there is a holy war that is taking place right now, a war for this nation. It's not just a war for the unborn, but it's a war for the minds of this people to become more and more bound in the spirit of the age. Because the God of this world is blinding their eyes. And only the church that flows in the power and the authority of God has the ability to bring change. The slogan of this present government is entitled change. But political change is not enough for this nation. The greatest change cannot stop this vortex pull coming down, 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 deeper and deeper. There's got to be a spiritual invasion of fire and life and healing and purpose that is beyond the natural. Yes. Carnal Christians don't care a rip about the state of the world because they're so close to it they can't even tell the difference. Only spiritually minded people who are in touch with the flow of God will be carriers of power and authority.
My God.
I'm going somewhere. I was in a village in Africa preaching the gospel. The gospel is very powerful. Hallelujah. That good news is very powerful. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It's full of life. And as we speak that word, hearts are ignited in hope and faith. And if any man calls on the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. Not just saved from hell, but saved unto the glory and the purpose of God. I wish we could preach the whole gospel. So many people want a salvation that is just for heaven. But God desires a salvation that brings hope into the nation, into the land. There is a heaven to gain. And we should live with a sense of eternity in our heart as we gaze into our future. But while we are on the earth, we exist for the glory of God. So many people, their lives are so wrapped in the affairs of everyday living that there's no capacity for God. And what revival is doing is separating you.
Amen.
These extended meetings are not to keep you busy, but they to cause you to become sensitized to the purpose and the plan of God.
Amen.
I was in a village in Africa preaching. And the enemy tried to burn our tent, steal our generator. But I just pressed through, preached the witch doctors, their fires could not burn. Their theft was found out. Our lights never went off. We preached the gospel. And that night, six witch doctors, and I'm talking about people that know how to operate in demonic power, came up and said to me, Umfundis, baptize us in water. Now for a Tosa to say baptize us, you got to know they are desperate for God because they gain their magic power in the water. They're immersed in the water and that's where the spirits grip their life and take them into the realms of demonic power. Great deceptions were spirits that came out of the water and spoke to people that would cause the mass suicide of the Xhosa people. As they were told to rid themselves of their cattle and of their food because the God would come and destroy the people and give them a great victory, and they died. If it wasn't for the settlers that fed them, they would have all died. Deceptions come out of the water. And to become a witch doctor, they had to go into the river. And there the spirits would capture them. Sometimes when we baptize people, to get them into the water is a bit of a fight. Because they never get in the water, they bathe in a bucket. Because to get in the water is to get in the place where these spirits operate. Sometimes it takes 2-3 men just to push them under the water. They fight so hard. Even though they're desperate for God, their fear is so strong. And then as they come out of the water, you see the chains broken off their lives and the power of darkness leave their mind as they recognize that their God is alive and well in them. So for a witch doctor to say, please baptize us, is a mighty thing. Because it means that the God of this gospel is stronger than their god of magic. And they brought their bones and their mutis and their instruments of witchcraft and they burnt them. Hallelujah. Now when the power of the witch doctor is broken off a village, the region is open to the gospel. Because these people control through fear and murder. I've been in areas where witch doctors sacrifice their own children. I was in Kenya. Now in the change of the millennium, 2000. How many of you remember that? It seems such a long time ago. Everyone is so afraid. They were getting generators and gold and food stocking up. Oh, foolish people. So they thought the world would come to a standstill. What was it called?
Y2K.
I laughed at it. People, Christians, were selling books about it, store up. I thought, that's so unlike God. Anyway, it's another story. But you may remember, those who are old enough, that there was a church in Uganda where the people were locked in the building. The doors and the windows were hammered closed. And the priest of that movement set the building ablaze and killed them all. How many of you remember hearing that? Some of you will remember. I was in a meeting in Webuye, Kenya. And in the meeting, a woman started to manifest demons. We took authority and we cast those demons out of her. It was like a legion. When she was delivered, she told us that the man who had killed that church is the high priest of a cult, and that is her husband, and she was a practicing witch within the movement. Their followers paint themselves red, and they wear a skull on their head. They walk around naked, painted red. She said to us that her own children, they had sacrificed, saved one that she hid from her husband and is still alive in another village under the care of some relatives. But I thought of that moment when she stood before thousands of people and confessed Jesus as Lord. I've never heard such a shout in all of my life because everyone knew who she was and who her husband was or is and what the grace of God did for her. I've never seen such a breakthrough of praise to the glory of God at one person's salvation. But I thought, how mighty is our God. Amen. That His grace would extend to such a creature as that. And I thought how futile their demons were in comparison to the greatness of our God. They could not withstand the authority that was found in the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says, these signs shall follow them who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. You have authority in the name of Jesus. Because greater is He that is in you. In that same series of meetings, one day, in Africa, meetings go on for hours, and I'm going to try not to go on for hours. But the worship will start at 2 o'clock, and by 4 o'clock, you've had like 3 meetings, and by 5 o'clock, I'm to arrive and preach. And there had never been in all of my life such a flow of healing and miracles. The testimony line on the last day, and we weren't even there, we were told about it, stood for 2 hours before the back of the line could get forward. People with dead baby in a womb, the mayor of the city with a withered hand, people that were carried there, walked home, blind, were healed. I've never seen such a display of God's glory. Witch doctors, and here's the story. I was walking around the edge of the field where we'd gathered praying. And there were groups of witch doctors trying to work their magic to stop us. And where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. And I read this, at, you know, in Acts chapter 4. Why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, against the anointed. Not only Messiah, but now the anointed church, because he has the context. It was in the context of miracles. Signs and wonders were taking place, and the enemy rose to stop and slow down the church. And this is part of their prayer for boldness. God wants to work signs and wonders and miracles in and through your lives. And God wants to raise the water table of this revival to new realms that are far greater. And a great work has already taken place, but the best is yet to come. Whenever the people of God start to do a work, the enemy wants to frustrate it and slow it down. And tonight I want to bring to you a sense of authority and hope that when these things take place, criticisms, attacks, people calling you out of balance, don't be offended. Amen. Don't be afraid about what is taking place. Because God is also up to something that is much greater than what the devil is up to. Because the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And his church will be glorious and magnificent, far greater than Solomon's temple in all its beauty. I was in a village called Chilambo. And in that village, we had planted a church and great miracles were taking place. And a little girl who was the chorus leader in the worship, sweet little girl of about 14, beautiful voice. One day, mom went into the place to wake her up. It was quite a big house that had two rooms. Most houses in that area have one room, and she was asleep in that room. When the mom went to wake her up, she couldn't wake her up. She'd gone into such a deep trance. There was not a trance of God, but was a trance of the devil. I want to show you the power of God. We went into that room and we prayed. And the missionary that was working with me, her name was Lynn Bell. She's a mighty woman of God, working at a predominantly male society, preaching the gospel. And men were being saved and breakthroughs were taking place. But Lynn was with me and she was a qualified nursing sister. She checked all the vitals in her body and they were all exactly normal. There was nothing abnormal except she was in a demonic trance. We prayed, we bound, we loosed, we shouted, we did everything that we knew how, and I thought about the word, having done all, to stand, and we stood. And there came a moment when the Spirit of God just fell in that room, just a little room, not bigger than this area here, just one little bed, and three of us missionaries standing in there. And in one split second, the power of God hit her body. And at that moment, a snake, like a python, came out the roof and slithered out the door and left the room. Now, of course, our huts cannot get snakes in the roof because the walls don't allow for them to crawl up. It was a demonic manifestation. Hallelujah. The power of the earth and the authority of the believer is greater than the attack of the enemy. I was in Togo, and I was preaching in this place of voodoo. Voodoo is probably one of the strongest forms of witchcraft that I've ever seen in Africa. There are many forms of witchcraft, but voodoo is very black, very dark, very strong. And I was preaching, And my first interpreter was struck dumb. Now, at that stage, I'd seen people struck dumb by the Holy Spirit, that they couldn't speak. How many of you have seen that? You know, they just can't get the words out because just of the force of the anointing. Has that ever happened to you? How many of you have been struck by the power of God and you can't speak? So I had seen that many times. So my first inclination was, this is God. So I got another interpreter. He went dumb. Got another interpreter. He went dumb. The shout of the Lord came out of my spirit. Because at the third one, I recognized I'm not that fast. Discernment was not operating at a high level. But eventually, my lightning fast brain caught it. And I shouted the shout of authority. And witch doctors, 12 of them, 15 of them, I couldn't count. They moved, they ran so fast. They ran down the street screaming as if angels were chasing them down. I could not see the angels, but they fled in terror. And I thought of the scripture, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the word flee means to run in terror. Hallelujah. Now remember, be submitted to God. Be submitted to one another. Be submitted to those that watch over your soul, who watch out for you. There is a place of authority that is found only in submission. You will not find that kind of authority in rebellion. Because rebellion is the spirit of witchcraft, and witchcraft will recognize witchcraft. And there are many professing Christians who are actually practicing witchcraft because they're living in the spirit of rebellion, because they see authority as a threat. And they live in independence. And we need to walk in humility, because the measure of your humility will be the strength of your authority. And the greater your submission, I'm a man under authority. And I say to one, come, and he comes. And I say to another, go, and he goes. Just speak the word. Authority is recognizable. And authority recognizes authority and is not afraid of it. I was in a meeting and a lady, I spoke, wives, submit to your husband. She began to boo. Boo. I said, hey lady, I didn't write the book, I just preach it. And your dysfunctional husband and your dysfunctional marriage should not give you the right to contradict what scripture says. I like to tread on toes every now and again. Let me tell you that submission is not in the platform of abuse, of manipulation, but is found in the place of love. And love is sacrificial. And Christ, having loved the church, gave himself for it. And that's the way husbands are to love their wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So authority is in the place of love, not in the place of abuse. And in the place of love, submission comes easy. And I'm amazed how many Christians live in rebellion. They do not like pastoral authority. And they wonder why the devil wreaks havoc with their lives. And why the gospel does not advance, because it is a platform of witchcraft. We have got Pentecostal and charismatic witches and warlocks. They look just like regular believers. They sing the songs, they pray the prayers, but their hearts are in rebellion to the authority of God and to his order. And power does not work in the place of rebellion, but in the place of authority. And in the place of authority, you'll find power, miracles, and signs and wonders. Everyone wants miracles, but they often forget that that level of miracles does not take place at pastoral level, but at apostolic level. We want to go to a higher level in God. How many of you want a higher level in God? Therefore, we've got to understand that the higher level of the supernatural is found in the place of government and order, authority. So when things start to change around here and God's government is put in place, don't cop an attitude. Hear the word of the Lord tonight. Don't cop an attitude, because God wants to take you higher. And for that realm to be released, there's got to be a change of government. Can you hear that, Steve? Can you hear that, Vaughn? I'm telling you, can you hear that, pastors and leaders of this church? God wants to take it to another level. I tell you, when you in submission and you raise your voice in authority, demons flee. And those used by demons flee. In that same meeting, a woman jumped up and she said, "Pray for me." She was pregnant. She looked normal. She wasn't wearing a mask of witchcraft. I had zero discernment that this is a witch. I thought she's a God-hungry woman. That's how much I know. So you think I'm a man of power for the hour. Actually, I don't know half the time what I'm doing. I'm just a sojourner doing the best with what I've got. I lay hands on her. She goes down under the power of God. She gets up. Lay hands on me again. I think, praise the Lord, she's God hungry. Lay hands on her. Bam, she goes down. And I'm worried about the unborn baby in her womb. Catches, work with me. She gets up again. Okay, go enjoy the ride, you and your baby. Bam, she goes down. She gets up a fourth time. It's like, boing, boing, boing. Starting to irritate me now. Because there's hundreds of people. And I lay my hands on her. Pow! And she goes down and she stays out. The next night, next day, I'm flying out of Toga. And I'm going to the pastor's house to have a farewell meal. And who's sitting on the wall outside the house? Pregnant lady. She walks up to me. She says, "You don't know me." I said, "Yeah, I remember you." Boing, boing, boing. She said, "I'm a witch doctor. And every time missionaries come into the area, I put spells on them. When they lay hands on me, I put a spell on them. And they struck dumb. And every time I wanted you to put your hand on me, I went down. And your power is stronger than my power. And I want this Jesus that is in you." She was born again, delivered from legions of demons. Hallelujah. I don't tell you these stories just because they're stories and they sound good and make me look good. Let me tell you that God wants you to flow in the supernatural. Amen. But there's a warfare that's taking place to slow down the advance of the church. And whether it be in people or whether it be in principalities and powers, but there is a work that we've got to do, and we cannot do it in rebellion. We cannot do it in indifference. We've got to do it with zeal. Because the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and violent men take it by force. Yes, and God's calling you to another level of authority and boldness in God. That this revival is yet to increase in its magnitude, in its effect in the region. Can you hear what the Spirit is saying to the church? That God wants to work unusual signs and miracles, wonders in your midst. And so he's bringing you to a place of authority, power. That this isn't just a game. It's not just a series of meeting, but there's a strategy for souls, for a harvest, for the restoration of our prodigals, for a generation that is to come into the power of God. And God's wanting you to rise in this authority. That every time the anointing gets on you, it's the anointing that destroys or breaks the yoke. That your life is a carrier of the authority. Whenever the anointing was applied, whether it was to a king or whether it was to a priest or now to a New Testament believer, anointing represents set aside and authority. Anointing separates you and gives you authority. David was a young boy, a hardworking, serving young boy. But when the anointing got on him, he became a king and he became a conqueror. Glad that excited you so much. That's why the devil wanted Samson's hair, his separation unto God. Because when he got his separation unto God, he got his authority. And he could blind him and bind him and use him to grind the corn instead of possessing the land. Come on. Aren't you glad that his hair began to grow? Why? Because when his hair began to grow, the anointing, and his greatest victory was his last. The enemy wants the anointing upon our lives, because with the anointing, a boy can kill a giant. It wasn't the stone, it was the anointing upon the boy. He could have used anything. It just happened to be a stone. He killed him because he was anointed of God, brought down the enemy. And I know he was a boy. He wasn't a man at that stage. Why do I know that he was a boy? Because he cut off his head and walked around with it. Only kids would do that sort of stuff. Woo, boo. Put his hand up his neck. Hello. How you doing? I was a giant. Now I'm destroyed. The first puppet show. I used to be very big, but now I'm small. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The anointing is not just for good meetings, but it's so that we can wage a good warfare, the warfare of faith, to possess the land, to win souls, and to gather a harvest, and to grow a glorious church. Give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh! Hallelujah!